Okay. You know, we started out a few weeks ago in this study looking at the vision that Jesus has for the lost. You know, had him to reach out and to focus on everything that he was doing to seek and to save the lost. Last week we were discussing, and we were looking, beginning this lesson two here, we were talking about Jesus' passion for the lost, and one of the main things we were focusing on was this compulsion that Jesus had, this compulsion that God has to save his creation. And one of the things that I expressed to you to think about some, and just, you know, kind of this whole idea, I'm trying to wrap your mind around the idea of the Creator, the one who did the creating, having this compulsion to save his creation. See? And, you know, as we think about, you know, that kind of idea that God, you know, as we discussed a little bit, the idea, you know, that some people say, well, God could have just, you know, done this, and but no, I don't think that he could have just wiped everything out and said, forget all of them, because he had this compulsion to save his creation. And so everything that we see happening from the Garden of Eden all the way to the cross, and then even beyond to today, is because of God's compulsion to save his creation from eternal destruction. We also mentioned a little bit of this, the spiritual warfare idea and the battle that's going on. What is Satan's desire? Satan desires to deprive God of as much of his creation as possible. Satan wanted to take God's position. That was in his rebellion, and realizing that he couldn't do that, his next goal is to deprive God of as much of his creation as possible, because he knows how much his creation means to the Father. And so that's really what this is all about, what the spiritual warfare, the basics of it is all about, is that Satan is working to deprive God of as much of his creation as possible. And on the other side of it, of course, is that God is working to save as much of his creation as possible. In the middle of all of that, okay, in the middle between those two, okay, is us, the creation, and our free will. Okay? That's what's in the middle. Our free will to choose which way we're going to go. Okay? And, of course, Satan works diligently at trying to get us to choose sin, to turn away from God. And God has worked diligently to get us to hold on to him. And that's what the classic battle is all about. I don't care if you call it, you know, Star Wars and, you know, Darth Vader and all, you know, all the whatever kind of, you know, idea you want to come up with. It always comes back to the same thing, the battle between good and evil, light and darkness, between God and Satan. So we have Jesus as the principal, what's the right word I want to use? Not really participant, because the Godhead is all participating in this, but Jesus is the physical manifestation of the Godhead that has come here in order to work that plan that God has to save his creation. And last week we got up to the part of looking at Jesus on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We discussed the idea of here Jesus is hanging on that cross, and he is taking upon him the sins of the world, but in so doing he's asking the Father to forgive even the very ones who have put him there on that cross, not meaning just the Roman soldiers, but those Jews who were there saying, crucify him, crucify him. So Jesus is there hanging on that cross. And we go to the the part two on this, on the other page there, the Lord's Passion, he gave up the ghost. Luke 23 and verse 46. Okay, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Which, you know, if you think about it, and one of the things that I ask you to do is just kind of, you know, try in your mind's eye to picture. Here's Jesus hanging on that cross. Okay? And he has already asked the Father to forgive those who have done this. As he's hanging there and he takes the sins of the world upon him, he breathes his last, giving his spirit up to the Father. Question here, the first one, how much does Jesus want men forgiven? How far was he willing to go to have men forgiven? Okay. Okay. But I want you to stop and think about it. That's the right answer. Okay? But that's an easy answer, isn't it? I want you to think about what's behind that. Okay? What does it mean to die? Now, to give up his life. Okay? Because we really need to try to make a connection to that, because if we want to have that same kind of compassion, we need to kind of grasp what that really means, to give up ourselves, and I'm not sure that we really do. In other words, it's easy. We recognize intellectually, you know, that was the process. Yes, he gave up his life. What does that really mean?
He would be willing to give up his Godhead, his inheritance, to keep his inheritance. He's willing to give up, he's willing to go through all the temptations that we go through, to curse him, to hate him, to get out, get back after him for causing the pain, the shame that they caused on him. He was probably tempted even not to give up his life. You know, I didn't stop this right now. I didn't sense some angels down there, you know, and his wife. But he gave it all up so that he, for us, so that he could
get his family. I think that's a pain.
Okay. you to take a minute and do something. You can use the space underneath that first question there. Take just a minute and think about, and then write in that space, what is the most precious thing in your life? What do you hold? If you had to, you know, just one thing, the thing that you hold most precious in your life, what is it? Just take a minute and think about that and write down in that space there what that would be. What are you grinning about over there? Okay. You want to share with us?
Yeah, I'm pretty thankful for the discipline and the with my life.
So okay.
I see that if I don't have life, I can't do much for nobody else.
Okay.
And I can't help nobody because, you know, I've always been a kid. First of all, make yourself everything. If you can't take care of, you don't have it yourself, you can't get it. And so they've got to start here. You want to change the world, you've got to start with it. Whatever goes, it got to come from me. And what this life is about, not much that I think we can do.
Okay.
That is the most important thing.
So okay.
The way I see it.
Yeah, I understand. Anybody else care to share with us what your most precious thing in your life is? Anyone else? Here's the next question. Think about this. Would you be willing to give up that which you wrote down as the most precious thing in your life in order that someone else might be saved? See, as I said, it's real easy for us to, you know, to look at it, well, he gave up his life on the cross. We have to kind of make it personal and see, okay, if this, whatever this is, and whatever you wrote on the line is the most precious thing in the world to you, if you knew that by giving that up, that you would be able to save others eternally, would you be willing to give it up? Apostle Paul, by the way, was even willing to give up his own salvation in order that others could be saved.
Thank you.
See, I'm trying to get you to really seriously think about the cost here and what are you willing to do so that someone else might be saved. Just like Jesus, he gave up his throne in heaven. He gave up his godhood. And he came here and he lived like us. And then he gave up that physical life. And we could say, well, yeah, but he was God and he knew what was going to happen. He knew the outcome. He read the last chapter of the book and, you know, all those other kinds of things to let ourselves off the hook. But none of that's really valid. Because he gave up his godhood and he came here as a man. And so when he was here, he was just like us. And so when he hung on that cross, he felt what you and I would feel if we were hung on a cross. Including the abandonment of everybody. Including his own father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ask you this question. On your list, what you wrote down, not list, but what you wrote down in your space there, how many of you wrote down time? Anybody? Any of you write down any physical objects, you know, your house or, you know, any of that kind of stuff? Anybody write any of that stuff down? Okay. How about, you know, like, you know, your reputation? Anybody write something like that down? You know, maybe like, you know, your job is, anybody write job down? Any of those kinds of things? Do you see where I'm going with this? Why don't we have the concern for the lost the way we should when we allow, I don't have time. Is an excuse that we oftentimes use. We're not willing to give up some time that someone else might be saved. Well, I'm afraid, you know, that people at work might make fun of me. So we won't take the chance. See? I'm afraid I'll lose my job if I mention Christ to someone. And all of those kinds of things that aren't even anywhere on the radar screen when you talk about what's the most precious thing to us, but yet are those the kinds of things that we allow to get in the way of us telling other people about the Lord? Okay. And that's why we really need to think about this. We know the right answers to these questions. Okay? But we really need to look at these things in terms of, okay, what's the right answer for me? Okay, look, you know, as we look at some of these other things, you know, consider the other men who died that day. How do you think they reacted to being nailed to the cross? Did they struggle? Did they quietly submit? What do you think the scene was like there for them?
Yelling, crying, okay. Pain.
Okay.
Cursing.
Okay. The scriptures even tell us that they mocked Jesus, didn't they, while they were there on the cross, okay? All right. How do you think Jesus reacted when he was being nailed to the cross?
Jesus still took care of his sheep. He asked God to forgive all of them.
Okay.
He still made sure his mother was taken care of.
Okay.
I mean, he just chose his protection for his sheep.
Okay.
I think he showed him. I think he showed him.
Okay.
But he didn't, they didn't cause him to sin.
Okay. Well, what's the difference between, do you suppose, the main focus between the other two men that were crucified with him and Jesus? What do you think, what's the difference between what their focus was? Where were the other two men probably focused? Themselves. This is going to hurt, you know. You know, I don't like the idea of this nail going through my skin here. It's going to hurt. I'm going to hurt. I'm objecting to this, probably loudly, you know, and so forth, because they're focusing on themselves. Where's Jesus' focus? On every one of us. That's where his focus is, on every one of us.
And also imagine the other two were full of hate for the people that were sent to him. Where Jesus was just pure love and then holy, unequivocally pure love.
To the extent of even asking the Father to forgive them for what they were doing. Okay, now, look at the question right in the middle of the page. How far are we willing to go to have men forgiven? What are you willing to give up? How far are you willing to go that someone else might be saved?
Most of us, this should be really a hard question. I mean, it's easy to say, I'll go do or whatever I can, but we need to be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to give up a son or a daughter? You know, you should be here. I don't think so, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wish I could pray, I would go that far. But if I'm honest with myself, I know I can't say that. Am I willing to lay down my own life? I don't know. I really don't think so. I don't think I have that within me. I wish and would pray that I would be ever, that I would reach that point where I could pray that. But right now, I can't say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, would you give up your favorite TV program on a Tuesday night so that you could have a Bible study in your home? You see, with people that wanted to know about Jesus? And how many of us go, no, sorry, can't do Tuesday night. I can't do Wednesday night either. Can't do Monday night. You know, I just don't have any evenings available. You see, we really need to be serious and ask ourselves, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up? As Jesus is hanging there on the cross, giving up his life. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to do so that others can be forgiven of their sins. Judy, I'm like you, and you guys have heard me say before, you know, just the whole concept. I think if it came down to it, I believe this. Nobody knows for sure until it actually happened, but I think I would be willing to give my life for someone else. I've put my life on the line before. Don't ask me to give you one of my children. I don't love you that much. Okay? I don't love you that much. I don't understand that kind of love that God has. I give you myself, but don't ask me to give you one of my children. Okay. What? But see, God's not asking us to put our son on an altar and take his life. He's not asking us to go to the cross physically and so forth. He's asking us to take some time and to share the gospel with somebody. You see? That's what he's asking us to do, right? Exactly. And you know, the question on this sheet here, the last one in that group there, is this passion of Jesus's our passion? You know, do we have that kind of passion for the lost? That we're truly willing to make some sacrifices so that someone else can be forgiven of their sins? We go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Can I get somebody to read that for us, please?
So you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Okay. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Who's he talking to? In a minute. Go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded them. That's our commission. Why aren't we going? A serious question we need to ask ourselves. By his own authority, Jesus commanded us to go and to make disciples. Look at these two questions that are under this particular section. We've talked about the death of Jesus and on the cross how he asked the Father to forgive men their sins. We look at, and we need to understand the resurrection of Jesus. Why? What do the Scriptures tell us about why Jesus was raised from the dead? You see, I think sometimes we focus a lot of attention on the cross. And Jesus went to the cross and he died. Okay? But Jesus' death would have no power in it were it not for the resurrection. See? A lot of people were crucified on crosses. Okay? But none did what Jesus did. And part of that is in the power in the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection. Okay? That's part of what His resurrection accomplished, was the declaration through the power of the resurrection that He indeed was the Son of God.
If He wasn't resurrected, then He couldn't intercede for us.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what made Him different from the thousands upon thousands who were crucified on the cross, you know, before and after Jesus was. He was the only one that was the Son of God. And His resurrection declared that. You see. In Romans 4 and verse 25, He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. So do you see the accomplishment of each of those two acts? The death did what? Yeah, it gave our sins. John, as you talked about, that gave our sins to Jesus. Okay? But what does His resurrection accomplish? Our justification. You see? You've got to have both of those. Not just the one. And so therefore then, because of that, what Jesus wants us to do, according to Luke 24 and verse 47, is that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in Jesus' name. Okay? But that's what we need to be teaching people. That in the name of Jesus, they need to repent of their sins and their sins will be forgiven. Because that's what He accomplished on the cross. Somebody turn to Hebrews 7:25 and let's look at this particular question. How does His being alive help men to be forgiven? Tom, you got that?
Therefore, He is also able to save from the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them.
Okay. He is a permanent high priest. Not like the priests under the Old Covenant, you see, that, you know, they died. And when they died, what happened? What happened to their service? Yeah, it died right along with them. You see? But Jesus continues to serve. You see, the job of the high priest was to make intercession for the people before God, was it not? Okay? And so when that high priest died, then, you know, his ability to make intercession for the people died right along with him. Well, you say, well, but they got another high priest. Yeah, but eventually that high priesthood was done away with, wasn't it? But the high priesthood of Jesus is still in existence right now. And so, as our high priest, He continues to make intercession for us. Okay? Because He rose from the dead. He was able to do that. That's why, as we've studied, you know, intently many times before, 1 John chapter 1. In verse 7, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, what happens? Yeah, His blood continues to purify us. Why? Because He's continuing to make intercession for us. That is His ability by being raised from the dead and continuing to serve as our high priest. Okay. So, the question on the back of the page here, let's take a look at those, and this is just for some some self-examination here. What does Jesus want his disciples to do? The Great Commission? What? Okay. Right.
Bring the people to the man they can forgive.
Okay. He wants us to seek and to save the lost, which is his vision, right? And he had the passion for that. You know, these questions that are here, and I didn't put these lessons together, by the way, okay? You know, it's real easy for us to just kind of, okay, yeah, that's an easy answer. You know, I know what that is. You know, some of this is Bible 101, okay? But I hope that it will challenge you to really think about it, not just to, you know, give the obvious answer to it, but really think about, wait a minute, what's that telling me? Okay? What's that telling me here? You know, so in other words, read that first question, not what does Jesus want his disciples to do, but what does Jesus want me to do? Okay. What does he want me to do? Why does Jesus want the gospel preached to all nations? Is this what he prayed for?
Yeah.
Okay. And because he's got this compulsion, doesn't he? To save his creation. Okay. God does not want anyone to perish, but rather that all men would come to eternal life. That's what he wants. Okay. That's why he sends his disciples, that's us, out to tell other people about him. Okay, so then here's that question in the middle. Again, I want you to reword it. Why should I try to help men be forgiven? I don't mean I as the preacher. I mean every one of us should be asking that question, okay, and put yourself, your name in there. Okay? Every one of us in here had somebody that cared enough about us to share the truth of the gospel with us. Whatever, you know, was going on at that particular time. I know, like, you know, for me, you know, Cindy took me to the preacher and said, you know, I want you to study with him. I want to marry him. You know, she was committed to not to marry someone who wasn't a Christian. You know, and you know, we tried studying together, just the two of us, and it just ended up in arguments all the time, you see. But I'm thankful that the Lord put her in my life, and she had enough commitment to pursue that. But see, someone did that for you. Are you willing to do it for someone else? You see? Okay. I think you're right, Gene. I think you have to, because otherwise your words, you know, really mean nothing. But I want to take that a step further and say, you know, I think that so often Christians use that as an excuse not to go out into the world and teach. I'm teaching by my example, is what they say. See, and they don't make any other effort beyond that. Well, that's great. We need to have be the example, but we still need to teach. See, we still need to be out teaching people. See, and not just use that as an excuse to not do it. See, Okay, look at the next one on here as we're finishing up this. List some things you can do to help men be forgiven. What can you do specifically? Okay? Now, I'm going to plant a little seed in your mind here this morning. The elders have been talking about this. We're looking at, you know, different things that we can and need to be doing even as a church, but it's got to be start with individuals. One of the things that we're looking at is people that are willing to open their homes to have personal Bible studies, just to host, be a host home. See, to have somebody come there and conduct Bible studies with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, whoever, that you'll open your home and invite people to come. See, that's something you can do. Are you willing to do that? Okay. Under the experience it. Okay, this is the personal stuff here. Continue to pray every day. You remember those people in lesson one that you wrote down, those three people? Okay? We're coming back to them. Okay? And continue to pray every day for those people whose names you wrote down in that particular part. And then work on cultivating a deeper relationship with them. Spending time with them, you know, doing whatever you can to interact with them. In building a relationship, if that's what needs to happen, see, so that perhaps a door can be opened that you might be able to teach them about Jesus, okay? Pray for someone who's mistreated you, and then for preparing for next week's lesson, read the first five chapters of the book of Acts, okay? So those are some things for you to think about and experience, and I have lesson number 3 to give out to you. I'll put them over here on the podium here, and you can pick those up. All right? Thank you very much. I've had people do the same thing to me, but you know what? I'm going to continue on doing it. See? We have to. And again, remember one thing I said, it's right in the middle between, you know, the good and the evil is our free will. That's what's there. And what we've got to do is try to encourage people to exercise their free will to choose the life of God, but realizing there's going to be a lot of people we'll encounter that will not. See, but we can't let that discourage us. Okay? We just got to teach it. All right? Thank you all very much.